This is The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. Every fall, the prestigious Banff Center Mountain Film and Book Festival is presented in the Canadian town of Banff. Shortly afterward, the Film Festival World Tour kicks off, with stops in over 600 communities and more than 40 countries across the globe. This weekend, it stops at the Cascade Theater in Redding, California, with documentaries that analyze current environmental issues, give audiences exhilarating looks into action sports, and celebrate achievements in outdoor storytelling and filmmaking worldwide. The event is hosted by the Redding Trails Alliance, and I'm joined now by that group's Operations Director, Camille Knutson. So, Camille, the Banff Mountain Film Festival comes to Redding this weekend. How many years has Redding been a stop on the tour, and how many years has the Redding Trail Alliance been presenting it?
I honestly can't remember when they first brought it to Redding. I know it was a number of years because I attended in the audience. Redding Trail Alliance has been doing it. Oh, hopefully I don't get this number wrong. The years just blend together, but I think it was since 2021, possibly 22. You know, COVID, it ruined time for everyone.
Yeah, the year time stopped. Well, Redding is a smaller city. I think it's under 100,000 people, but it has this big reputation. In fact, last September, for one example, the LA Times named it the Trails Capital of California. So yes. How many miles of trails are there? And what can you say about the importance of outdoor recreation in general there?
Sure. So depending on who you talk to or what you read, that number might change slightly as far as how many trails, but it generally bounces back and forth between 150 to 200 miles of trails. And this is whether you're talking about natural surface trails, dirt trails, or paved trails, or both. So we've got a lot. And I think the majority of people that live here really appreciate having access to these trails. That's how we got started. We all have a passion for our outdoor experiences, and it's unique to every different trail user. And so that's why we focus on not only maintaining what we have, but adding to the diversity of what the trails have to offer.
And are the trails available for bikers, hikers? Are they ADA accessible?
Yeah, so most of our trails are multi-use, so it's shared use between hikers, bikers, equestrians. There's a few ADA-approved paved trails, but none that are official in that sense on the dirt yet.
So getting back to the festival, wherever the Banff Tour stops, and it goes all around the world, it's a big deal, especially for all the outdoor enthusiasts in the area. And cities all have their unique presentations of it. So what are some of the hallmarks of your event in Redding?
So Redding has a reputation for having a very boisterous audience. And that's what makes this event fun, too, is not only the films, but it gathers together over 900 people from different backgrounds that just appreciate the outdoors. And it ends up being a hit every time. Yeah, it gets better and better every year.
Okay. And the event is a fundraiser for the Alliance, for the Redlands Trails Alliance. Can you share a little bit about your history and what kinds of programs and activities you've got going on now?
Sure. Yeah. Fundraising is obviously huge for a nonprofit. Events make up just over 50% of our annual revenue. And this Banff Mountain Film Festival World Tour is our second largest fundraiser of the year. So that's huge. If we sell out, we can bring in anywhere upwards of $17,000. And a lot of people might not realize how expensive maintaining trails or planning and building trails are. So just this event alone wouldn't necessarily build a mile of trail.
It says a lot about the biking and, I guess, hiking community in Redding that during the 2018 car fire, I was reading about this, you were constantly getting calls about when the local trails would open.
Yeah.
Talk about the devastation that fire caused to the trails and the recovery process.
I'm so glad you asked that. Yeah, people, it's a mental health thing. People wanted to be able to get outside back on those trails right away And I'm sure you read that quote that the fires were literally still smoldering when people were asking, when can we ride the trails again? So it's important to our community. And then as far as the impact that fire had, this was really eye-opening for us because here we are 7 years later and we're still dealing with the maintenance impacts. 90% of our trails were in that fire scar. So we're constantly having trees fall across the trail that have been burned. You would think after a couple of years, you know, maybe they've all fallen. We're good now. Not the case. They're still falling all the time. And without those established trees, we've seen an unprecedented amount of brush and weed growth. So we spend a lot of time ourselves and our volunteers just trimming so that the trails can stay open. So yeah, it's been a lot of work. And unfortunately, it just hasn't gotten any easier yet.
Well, then after that, you had that huge snowstorm.
Yeah. That brought down a lot of trees. So that was good. It got a big chunk of them out of the way. But yeah, the integrity of the trails themselves, though, surprisingly, have been okay. It's just keeping them open.
Okay, so the main sort of infrastructure is there. It's just maintenance, and you need a lot of volunteer work. I actually understand that the 1-2 punch of those disasters, because you were calling it Snowmageddon, actually spurred even more people to help with your mission. So how did your volunteer base grow after that? I read something like you have 2,500 volunteer hours a year or something. Is that accurate?
Yeah. And we have amazing volunteers. What's unique about the outdoor community is a lot of people who appreciate using the trails won't hesitate to get out there and help. We have over 500 people on our volunteer email list. It doesn't mean that they all come out and help, but we send out weekly emails. We let them know what we're doing, where we need help, what's happening. And that's 500 people that can at least let us know their availability. And then we have an Adopt-A-Trail program that we launched last year, and that's been huge because these are people who are volunteering their time to focus on a specific trail, to handle the trimming. We host some trainings. Some of them have been trained and approved to run a saw on BLM land, and then some are also trained and approved to handle a lot of the water mitigation drainage issues that pop up with the sediment that collects in some of the rolling dips.
My guest is Camille Knutson, Operations Director for the Redding Trail Alliance, which is presenting this year's Banff Center Mountain Film Festival this weekend at the Cascade Theater. Camille, let's get into the films that you'll be screening this weekend. Take us through the schedule and give us little synopses, if you would.
Okay. So there are 7 films that we'll be showing. The program that we're showing is called the Granite Program. So you can look these up online as well. The films vary in length. The shortest one is 7 minutes. The longest is 36 minutes. And what's great about this lineup is there's a little bit of everything. There's a mountain biking film. There's rock climbing. There's skiing. There's what I could describe as midlife crisis fort building. There's kayaking and endurance running. So many things. And I can walk you through the titles and a little bit about each of those if you want.
That'd be great. Yeah, just little highlights, even just the little blurbs that they send you.
Sure. So the first one is Anytime in Utah. And this is a mountain bike film. I'll read the synopsis here. It's Utah's rugged, arid landscape. A new era of female freeride mountain biking is born. Follow 4 trailblazing women as they carve unprecedented lines and push the limits of what is possible. Our next film is Ian. This is pretty cool. This is the rock climbing film. 72-year-old climber. His name's Ian Elliott. And despite his age, he's defying stereotypes and showcases his resilience and challenging societal perceptions. So that's a fun little teaser there. Going East is an interesting video about a group of skiers that are on a mission to travel as far east as possible using only public transportation and skiing along the way.
That's unique. Yeah.
Two Legs is too easy. This is an inspiring film about a man named Steve. I'm not going to pronounce his last name because I don't want to botch it. So he was born with bone cancer in his left leg and has never known what it's like to have two legs. But that hasn't stopped him from doing all kinds of sports, skiing, mountain biking. So this is one of those super inspiring films. You watch these and you think, okay, what's my excuse?
Right.
House of Bliss. This was the reference I made to fort building. This was a very interesting documentary about a guy who built a shelter. I think it was in Iceland. Yes, it's based in Iceland. And it's just a very short, but contemplative and quiet, as it says, film about being outside. It's one of my favorites. I liked it. It's a short one, only 9 minutes.
And you mentioned before when you were talking that it was a midlife crisis fort building. Are they of a certain age? Is that why you said that? Or
yeah, he looked to be about 40s. And what we do is we preview 4 different programs before we choose one to show locally. And I had previewed this program, and that was the little note that I put in my phone because I put notes on every film I watched. And it made me giggle. I know a few people who have done and probably would do that. The next film is Ice Waterfalls. Beautiful cinematography. This one's a little bit longer of a synopsis, so I can just summarize it. But it's kayaking through melting ice caps, glaciers, and going over waterfalls. Blue water, so beautiful. And then the last film is a team sport. A lot of people might already be familiar with Courtney Dewalter. Amazing, amazing woman. She set some records, ran 300-mile races back to back in one summer. Can't even imagine. So yeah, this is a film that a lot of people in our audience, I think, are looking forward to.
Wonderful. Well, Camille, is there anything else you just want people to know generally about Reading or this festival, this Banff Festival in particular?
Tickets are still available, and I would purchase them ASAP because a lot of the times people show up at the theater day of and it's sold out. And there's nothing worse than having to be turned away. The event itself is going to be amazing. We always draw the winner for our Dream Bike giveaway, which is another fundraiser we do at the end of the show, because our hopes is that somebody in that audience will be the winner, and it would be awesome just to get them up on stage and have a crowd of people cheering them on. One last thing, we always curate some fun prize giveaways for our audience based on the films we're showing. So we're doing that again this year. We've got a couple mountain bike packages. We've got a rock climbing package, a camping package. Am I missing? Oh, we've got a stand-up paddleboard we'll be giving away. So we like to be able to give back to our community for supporting us. And also at the same time with those packages, hopefully inspire them to get out and explore with their different adventures. So everyone wins.
It sounds like a wonderful event. There's inspiring adventure films and a chance to win some fun prizes, too. Well, I wish I could be there this weekend myself. Best of luck with your event. It was great talking with you, Camille.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vanessa. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney, and my guest today was Camille Knutson of the Reading Trails Alliance, which is once again hosting the Banff Film Festival World Tour. You can listen to more episodes of The Creative Way at jeffexchange.org and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.